This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Lonely Planet just got a little less lonely with Chris Zaia on Joy Drive.
Chris Zaia, good afternoon.
Warren, hello.
You're my little fortnight sort of timestamp. To say that a fortnight of our life is gone.
Thank God. I thought you were going to say tramp stamp.
Tramp stamp. No, you indicate to me a fortnight's gone and I haven't done any travel.
Ah, bad boy. Oh. But you're always in here. You're always working.
Always.
You know, always doing the right thing for Joy listeners, getting them home on time.
And I do love it. But Chris, I've got to say, one thing I do love doing is going to Japan, not only for the skiing, but I love going for the food. How important is food in a holiday, in deciding a holiday?
It's really interesting. We've always known that food has been an important deciding factor in when people are going away. It's, you know, we have to eat when we're away, like, right? And, and it makes up part of the experience. But we've had some recent surveys come out that has really underlined how important it is. And so some of these numbers are incredible. So the food tourism market is currently valued at $111 billion.
Oh, wow.
And by 2027, it's forecast to go up to just around about $180 billion.
So it's increasing.
And it's just huge. 8 out of 10 travellers apparently research food and drink before they go. And 7 out of 10 travellers, so that's basically 70% of us, decide on a destination based on the food.
So I was just saying before, I want to go to Vietnam based on the food.
Street food.
And as I was saying it, I was thinking, oh, am I disrespecting the culture? Because I'd like to see that as well, but I want to go for the food and eat.
It's become quite a primary tool for decision making. And it's really being propelled by a younger generation of travellers. And that's not lost on me either. So I think that's got a lot to do with social media. We see food shots on you know, Instagram, you know, TikTok, etc. We see travel shots. So combining those two things together, you know, that younger generation, 25 plus of travellers, really kind of propelling this. And you know, food's fantastic. Like, you know, some of the best experiences I've had when I've been away have been food related experiences. And you always talk about when you come back, what did you eat? What
You're
was
so
the food
right.
like? You know, it's one of those things that is about the storytelling of our trips too.
The other thing I find, Chris, is when you're chasing the food, you don't necessarily hang around in the tourist areas because when you know, we know the food there is a bit sanitized and completely different.
But well, the other bit that I love about being really careful about where you choose to eat is if you choose to eat local, that and I've been on the show and said this many times before, that money that you're spending stays in that local family-run business, gets reinvested in the community, goes into employment within the community. It is a very sustainable way of actually traveling. So I think that's really, really important that we always kind of think about eating local as well and eating in kind of family businesses.
I reckon we ask the Joy Drive family what their favourite food destination is. What do you reckon?
I would love to know that.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that. That's good.
So what are we asking?
We're asking, what is your favourite food destination and what is your favourite dish?
The text number is 0427 569 949. Why do you reckon food tourism has become so popular?
I think there's two or three things here that come straight to mind, and one being that I think we can learn a lot about a destination via the food, particularly because it's about local ways of cooking, local produce. You know, there's always kind of stories around how, why they use the particular ingredients they use in kind of, creating traditional meals. I think that we also have things in there that are kind of unfamiliar to us. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of us, it's about challenging ourselves to kind of eat those things that are unfamiliar. They might, you know, they might take us into a different place, but it's kind of like, oh, that's just absolutely sensational.
Like the fish. What's the puffer fish?
Oh, yeah, the puffer fish. I have in hot sake.
Yeah.
I had that in Takayama.
Did you get the tingling?
I didn't get the tingling, but I did kind of like, I know Michael, my partner, was kind of like, are you really drinking that? Am I taking you to hospital? What's going on? But I fell in love in Japan, speaking of Japan, I fell in love with okonomiyaki, with
the
Japanese pancake. And that wasn't something that I necessarily kind of really went and sort out. Mm. But once I'd had it, I was like, nah, that's my jam. I'm loving that. It is so yummy.
And there's the two types, isn't there?
Yeah, it's the cabbage one that I really, really loved with the egg on that, and the ones that we had down in Hiroshima, because each kind of region has their own version of okonomiyaki as well. So it's kind of like, yeah, so yum, so yum.
Now, Chris, we are asking everyone to name their best food destination and their best dish. Have we got something we're going to give them?
We are. Well, so Lonely Planet does an imprint called Lonely Planet Food, because we understand how important food and travel is. And our latest release is a book called Gourmet Trails Europe. So it's about planning 40 weekends in food and wine country in Europe. And we're going to give away some copies of that. So it's beautiful.
Fantastic. Thank you, Chris. If you'd like a copy of that, name your best food destination and your best dish and text us 0427 569 949. Chris will hang around.
Oh, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Joy Drive.
You're on Joy Drive with Chris Zai from Lonely Planet and Warren here this afternoon. We are asking you to name your best food destination and your best dish, and you could win a copy of Gourmet Trails Europe, which sounds amazing.
It is amazing. That's 40 weekends of food and wine ecstasy in Europe. So everything from kind of like, you know, going through Copenhagen to going through Romania.
Oh,
so it's pretty cool.
Sounds fabulous. So if you want to grab a copy of that,
text now on 0427 569 949. Joy Drive.
Now, Chris, what does a food...
Do you like that?
That's me making those noises. What does a food holiday look like?
So I think a food holiday can be... I think you can go big or you can go small with this stuff. And so I've tended to go small in terms of, I've always done a cooking school when I'm in a particular destination, like a half day thing, not a full week. You can go the whole hog and do those kind of like residencies in a Tuscan villa and all that sort of stuff. But my best memory was being on the Amalfi Coast in Sorrento, actually. We did a half day Italian cooking school in a nonna's house with her three daughters. And we kind of learned how to make zucchini flowers, and we made fresh pasta, and then we made a crostata, which is like a plum jam dessert, which was really beautiful. And then the the nonna's husband took us into his shed and made us drink all this home brews. So mum and I were absolutely tanked, and then you're eating all of the produce that you've done, and we're like, oh, this is fantastic, give me some limoncello. we were just off, and we had the best time, and we still talk about it. That was about 8-9 years ago. We still talk about it today.
I was going to say, just hearing you all the detail, you remember everything about it.
I now cook all of my pastry and pasta with sparkling water on that, on the advice of the ladies that were actually teaching us. I still do things today that I learnt in that school.
I remember travelling in Malaysia, and I went to Penang, and I went to a nonya cooking evening.
Tell me more.
At an old house, and beautiful. I went in there, and I can't remember exactly what it was, what the dish was called, but it was like a rice, but it had a blue colour to it, and it was wrapped up in a leaf. It was absolutely
like wrapped
delicious.
Up in a, like a banana leaf.
You can only buy it in this particular area. It was so yummy. It was so beautiful, and the history about it and where it came from, and it's a memorable experience.
And it connects you to the place, because it's one of those things like that. I will always remember my time in Sorrento, and I will remember my time in that like lemon grove, and I'll remember my time there. You remembered your time in Penang.
It
comes back really vividly. I think food is so vital. Important to the way that we actually do things.
I was just looking for Sorrento Moon then to play in the background.
But Tina Arena. Love it.
So we are asking you to name your best food destination and your best dish, and we're giving away copies of Gourmet Trails Europe. It's 0427 569 949. Chris, what have we got so far?
So I'm loving some of this. I actually think someone's come in with, which I love, which is seafood chowder in Boston. I love that. That's actually quite delicious. Which is awesome. Chicken ramen and chow mein. We're also seeing okonomiyaki in Japan. French cuisine in the south of France. We're getting quite a lot of people that know their food dishes out there, which I love.
Which is
why the audience always comes through.
Exactly. And I think you're right. People wanting to travel for food. What are your top destinations at Lonely Planet in terms of destinations to travel for food?
So we've talked about Italy, and what I would say is that, you know, Italy's really interesting. It's such an incredible food bowl. Like, you can go up to Umbria and it's sort of like it's, you know, mushrooms and all of those kind of foraged goods, or down in Sicily and you've got incredible seafood. Some of the best vegetables I've ever had in my life in Sicily because of the,
wow,
the volcanic soil on the island just changes the flavour profile of the food, particularly the tomatoes.
We can see the silver trails coming out the side of our mouths.
I feel sorry for the next guest coming onto my seat. There's a pool of saliva. So's about that. You know, I love, you know, Greece is another really good one because all you think about all the Greek islands, they all have their own little specialties.
Oh.
So like whether it's cheeses or honeys or stews of like goat or lamb or chickpeas or whatever it happens to be, each island will be completely different. Japan, we've talked about. The other one that I love is Scandinavia. Scandinavia with this full new Nordic cuisine, and I'm a sucker for a Swedish meatball, man.
Oh.
With the,
you can just go down to Richmond for one of those.
IKEA. Not quite the same, but it's that amazing kind of sweet currant sauce with the savory of the meatballs. It just makes it again, a pool of saliva has appeared on the desk.
Chris, we're going to pick our winners shortly. Love for your it. Travel yes, guide. Yes, so just yes. Hang around.
Joy Drive, smart fun radio.
We are joined by Chris Sire from Lonely Planet, and we're giving away copies of Gourmet Trails Europe, and we're wanting to know your best food destination and the best dish at this destination. Yum. And Chris has wiped his seat.
I've got the wet wipes out and the desk is fine. Do I have to come over your side, Warren?
The seat's soaked.
Listeners are like, what is going on What's in that studio on? Today?
We're talking food.
Those two boys need to be calm. Just calm down. Look, I'm loving it. I definitely have got a copy of Gourmet Trails Europe going out to Daryl with one R for his South of France and French cuisine. Absolutely love that. One that is completely underrated, Tony. I absolutely agree with you. A Reuben sandwich in New York. Or a Schmier bagel as well in New York. So a copy of Gourmet Trails coming out your way as well. And we'll see if we can find one other winner before the end of the show.
Fabulous. Chris, so good to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
As always, and I'll get... Yeah, look, there's puddles. Sorry.
We'll catch you in a fortnight.
Okay, see ya.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.